please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Liz Medicine Crow. My Tlingit name is Katsas. My Haida name, my Chudkil name is Lagunai. And I am from Kikwan, Cake, Alaska, and I work for First Alaskans Institute. I'm the president and CEO, and we are honored to host the annual statewide Elders and Youth Conference.
So what is your heritage, and what languages do you speak?
I am Tlingit and Haida. My Haida family comes from Haida Gwaii, and I also have Haida family in Heidelberg and elsewhere, but those are the places where my family is from. I am also from Tlingit territory. I am also Tlingit. I come from Kikwan. I am Raven Kachadi on my Tlingit side. On my Haida side, I am Katsak Askusu Dikwalagan, so I am an eagle woman. And I'm Chichkitne. That's my clan, and our crest is the hummingbird. The languages I speak are Tlingit, Haida, and English. I'm proficient in English, and I'm learning to be more proficient in both of my other languages. I'm a new learner, and it's really exciting.
Why did you come to AFN and Elders and Youth?
Well, I came to First Alaskans Institute's Elders and Youth Conference because we're the organization that hosts it. And then we are a sister organization to a lot of our other Native organizations across the state, and one of those is the Alaska Federation of Natives. Their conference starts tomorrow on Thursday. So after we conclude our First Alaskans Institute Elders and Youth Conference, then we are able to then participate in their annual membership convention, which starts tomorrow. So that's why I'm able to be here for the whole week.
What keeps you busy when you're at home?
When I'm at home in my village, my family keeps me really busy. I want to make sure I spend time with them. I want to make sure I get out on the land. I want to make sure I get out on the water. Depending on what season it is, I'm also harvesting a lot of food or processing a lot of food because that's what we do.
So what was it like growing up, and what were you doing when you were my age?
So for me, when I was growing up, when I was home in my village, it was like everybody was family. Like no matter where we were, whether we were playing out on the beach, we were running around and playing in the woods, no matter where we were, there was always somebody with their eye on us, make sure we are safe. And if we were up to no good, any adult would be able to like, hey, I'm going to tell your mom, or hey, you kids, knock that off. And we were raised as a community. And now that I'm older, I really appreciate that. And so when I was young, that's what it was like. It was totally different for me when I my family had to move from my village to the city. That was a really hard transition for me. I felt really lonely and lost and disconnected from my community and my family. And I was really blessed, though, and lucky that because I'm from Kikwan, it's always been my home, and so I've just been able to go back and forth as needed. That was a really hard transition for me as a kid. And I'm so grateful for my family, my community, for our culture, for our ways of life, because that's what helped keep me really grounded. And through the tough times and that lonesomeness, I always knew how to reconnect, and that was really simple because it just meant getting out of the land or the water. And it was like being on the land and the water was like being with a relative or being with my community, so it was easy to find a place to feel okay. When I was 13, eighth grade, I was playing a lot of basketball. I thought that was life. I was eating a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and drinking a lot of Pepsi. I don't drink any soda anymore, and I don't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches anymore. I think I overdid it when I was in that age group.
I actually don't drink soda either. When I do, it's very rarely, and it's mainly like a little treat, like just special times. Mm. What is your favorite place and why?
That's a hard one. Anywhere in my community, my ultimate favorite place, there's two places. Okay. On the water or on the land. There's a theme here. I love being in our canoe, our yauk. Mm-hmm. I love going on canoe journey. I love being in the ocean. We practice, my sisters and I started a few years ago practicing our Tlingit way of going into the ocean as a daily practice, or as often as we can practice. And that's really been incredible in terms of boosting my immune system, but also my internal spiritual and mental health and focus. And then also in the berry bushes. I love picking berries.
Did you have a life goal? And if so, did you accomplish it?
Well, yes, I had multiple life goals. I wanted to do so much and I was interested in so many things. And in terms of accomplishing it, I'm still on that path. So let me tell you a story. I really wanted to be an artist. I love the arts. I love creating art. And I grew up in a family of artists and was so inspired by all of them. And I really wanted to be an artist. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I was at my grandparents' house in Cake. And my grandpa called me over. He was having a coffee time with some other elders. And they were speaking in Tlingit. And he said that when I got old, I was going to go and become a lawyer and then come home and help our people. And I was like, no, I'm going to be an artist. That's my internal dialogue. I'm going to be an artist. And so I went off and I went to art school. I went to the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe. I loved it. It was an incredible experience. And as I was there, things started happening in my life that put me in situations where I was advocating for people. And then when I decided to go and I got my bachelor's of arts degree, and then I was going to go and try to pursue my master's of fine arts. And as I was waiting to find out if I got into the one school I applied to, because that's my way, is if it's meant to happen, I'll get in. And so I only choose the one place I want to go. Mm-hmm. And as I was waiting, I started thinking, is this the best I can do on behalf of my people? Like, we were raised to think of our community and our peoples and to have that responsibility. And I was thinking to myself, like, my parents and my grandparents, my aunties and uncles, my community, they sacrificed so that we could, you know, get the education, we could have these activities, we could have all this stuff so that we could be better, be stronger, learn as much as we could, and then use it to help our community. And I really start thinking, am I doing the right thing? And as I was thinking that, I got a letter from my sister. I didn't tell anybody I was thinking that. That's my private thoughts. I got a letter from my sister in a book, and it was the LSAT study guide. And you have to pass the LSAT in order to get into law school. About a week later, I got a letter from the school I applied to for my MFA, and they declined me. I was waitlisted. I was like number 5 out of 4 spots in the MFA program. Wow. And I was like, well, I guess I got to try to go to law school. So I did. And I wanted to understand self-determination and self-governance in the context of our Indigenous peoples, what's really ours, and how can we make systems that reflect our true cultural knowledge, heritage, and practices. So that's why I wanted to go, because going to law school helped me see what the Western way was, so I could peel that onion and then really understand these things that my grandparents and other elders had shared as I was growing up. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I was able to, like, really come full circle. And of course, who was right? My grandfather called it from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So being in service to our community is really that lifelong goal.
So thank you. That was really awesome. That's a great story. In your culture, if you were to use someone else's song, what would be the protocol, and like, how would you ask to use that song?
So in our community of Kehuan, we actually sing a lot of different clan songs. Those clan songs were either gifted for our use, or our group leaders requested the use from the appropriate clan leaders to see if it would be okay for us to use those songs. And so that's the real protocol, is that the songs belong to clans. And if they belong to a clan, we have to be respectful and get permission. And if they don't give us permission, we have to honor that. And the other thing is that there are other songs that have been gifted to all people of our people to use. So we can use those because they've been gifted to do so. The other way is that some people might just compose songs for the purpose of gifting at parties or for the purpose of gifting at certain celebrations. And so they may gift it for that special use or for that one time. So permission can be more than just, oh, I gift it to you, now you can use it for all time. It could just be special use permit only. You can get protocol. Our Haida protocol, our native protocol is really important. So you have to be really aware of what it is you're asking for and what permission you've actually been granted.
Well, thank you so much. This was a really good interview. I'm really glad that you guys do AFN. I had a great time. It was my first time coming to AFN. So I actually think this was really fun. It's great that you included the history behind Indigenous people. And you kind of like shined a light on the fact that even though we've been through hardships and that we, like us Alaskans kind of went through thick and thin with everything, and that this experience is really good. And I love that there's different cultures and different languages. And I learned how to Yupik dance the other day. It was great. It was really fun. And I think it was really cool that you gave me this experience. I made a choker. I got to do the talent show. I was on TV again.
That was amazing. You did
Thank
amazing.
You. Thank you.
Can I actually say something really quick?
Yes.
So I want to share that you said something really important that I want to build off, and that was around what this week is called. This week, the whole week is called AFN, although there are actually two different organizations who host two completely separate events. So the one that you just participating in is the First Alaskans Institute Elders and Youth Conference. AFN actually starts tomorrow with their annual membership convention.
Oh.
Yeah. But because it's kind of our, like we say, hashtag Happy Native New Year, this is like a condensed week of amazing nativeness, total saturation, full strength, statewide nativeness happening. And so everyone has come to know it as AFN Week, but it's anchored by those two different organizations who have two different convenings and they're operated differently. So Elders and Youth Conference for First Alaskans is about connecting our elders and youth and that knowledge transference and building in our collaboration and cultural continuity, all of those really good things. And then AFN is a place where issues and policies that are important to our people have a space to be debated amongst the people who are the delegates. You have to be a dues-paying member of that organization in order to have a vote as a delegate. So they have a completely different process. There's also the AFN annual basketball tournament that happens. Lots of people get married. There's all kinds of different reunions, like Mount Edgecombe and Sheldon Jackson. Alumni have reunions. There's all kinds of different celebrations that are happening. So this becomes this condensed week of just everything that you ever want to do and be involved with and see your family and friends from across the state. That's happening this week. So that's our Happy Native New Year.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. And I had a great interview with you, and this was really great. And thank you for doing this. It was
yeah.
great.
I'm glad you guys came. You guys just really added something special. So come back again.
Thank you.